The topic tonight is, Be Not Thou Rebellious Against God. That's a perfect Wednesday message, I'm sure, huh? Be not thou rebellious. And we all need this. I needed this. I need reminded of this. And so the question we're going to answer is, well, how do you do that? How do you not be rebellious against God? And so let's read in Ezekiel chapter 2, the first five verses. And it says here, And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And verse 3, And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. So we see here again, we're looking at the children of God here. And we're going to study their dealings with God and how God deals with them. And matter of fact, I meant to read a few more verses. Let's continue reading to verse 8 and then we'll get into that. I'm sorry. And it says here in verse 6, And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou hast thus dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed, disheartened, deprived of courage at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, which means refuse or decline, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. So again, we're looking at be not thou rebellious against God. Well, how do you do that? Let's try to answer that. Look at number one. It says here, what did God tell Ezekiel in verse 8? He says, Hear what I say unto thee. Second thing, he says, Open thy mouth. Okay, obey. Third thing, so he says, Hear, he says, Obey. And then the third thing, he says, Eat that I give thee. So again, how are we going to have to be rebellious against God? Point number one, hear what I say unto thee is what God is saying to you and I. Hear what I say unto thee. God told Ezekiel here in our passage, Hey, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like what? Like that rebellious house. He's speaking of Israel. God told Ezekiel, Hey, listen up what I have to say. Don't be like the world. Don't ignore God. Don't ignore me. Hear what I have to say to you. First step for you and I to not be rebellious by application, just like he's preaching, just like God's talking to Ezekiel, let him talk to us. First step, well, we need to hear what God says to you and I. Well, how do we hear what God has to say? Well, we hear it through preaching, like we're doing now. We're listening to the Word of God preach. We hear it through teaching. We hear it through our own study and reading. We hear it through our own meditating on the Word of God. He gave us His Word. Step number one, we need to hear the Word of God. We must make the hearing of God's Word a priority in our lives. Pastor McGovern's been preaching that ever since he got here, right? If we are not getting a dose of His Word daily, what can we do to change that? Let's seriously think about that. What do I have to do to change to make sure I'm getting some of His Word every day? Think about that. It might require a new habit. It might require cutting out old habit. It might require waking up earlier, as Pastor advocates. If you got an early shift, you might have to get up even a little earlier to make sure you get the Word of God in. A new routine. Maybe a new job will take care of that. Boy, it might require moving. I don't know. Every situation, every circumstance is different. But we need the Word of God every single day in our lives. It'll help us make the decisions that we need to make. Excuse me. Joshua 1:8 You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Boy, Joshua understood that. If we are going to take steps to fix things in our lives that we're dealing with, to where we do not rebel against God, we must make time to hear His Word. How else will we know we are in rebellion if we don't hear God's Word on the matter? You won't ever know if you're disobeying or against His will or in rebellion. You won't know if we don't take the time to first learn what God says that He wants from us. And before I get too far along, let me expound a little bit. Rebellion, what does that mean, to rebel? What do I mean by that? It means it's one who willfully violates a law. It's a rebel. It's someone who has heard what is right, knows what is right, and then willfully they'll choose to not do it anyway. 1 Samuel 15:23 is a classic example. Saul is a great example of what not to do. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. I'll give you the background a little bit. In 1 Samuel 15, this is the outcome of Saul the king, who rejected what God said to do. He rebelled against God's word, and he did not utterly destroy what God said to do. He kept back some, right? He did not obey. Therefore, what did he do? He rebelled against God. Disobedience is simply rebelling against God. We don't think about it in those terms. Right? I just disobeyed a little bit today. You're rebelling against a holy God. That's what you're doing when you disobey. When you and I do things that God does not want us to do, we are just shaking our fist at Him, just like the Israelites. In Ezekiel 2, God is telling, He's exhorting Ezekiel, the man of God. He says, you know what? Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house I'm sending you to. The rebellious house God is talking about is Israel, His own children. If we're saved, we're His own children. God is warning His children through Ezekiel, through the man of God, hey, be not thou rebellious. God is warning us, you and I today, as believers, as followers of His Word, of His book, of the Lord. Hey, be not thou rebellious. Don't reject My Word as Israel did. Again, first step, you know, how do we not rebel against God? Boy, we need to first do as Ezekiel was commanded by God. Hey, listen to what I have to say. Hear what I say unto thee, son of man. Hear what I say unto you, children of God, you and I. Let's hear the Word of God. Step number two, after we hear, it doesn't just end there. Step number two, God told Ezekiel, open thy mouth. In essence, God says, obey me. God told Ezekiel, open thy mouth. God had things and plans for Ezekiel to carry out. In order for God to use Ezekiel had to first learn the simple obedience, right? God told Ezekiel, hey, open your mouth. And you know what he did? Boy, he just simply opened his mouth. If we would just do that, you know, and the instant, you know, you're walking to go put gas in your car and you see that lady across the way or whatever, and you hear that little voice saying, hey, just run over there real quick. She's almost getting in her car. Give her a track real quick. Ah, God, get away from me, you know. I'm pumping gas. I got to go home to dinner. Those moments, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those are the still small voices that we just say, but God, I'm busy, you know. We're talking to a holy, righteous God, you know, and you know, we're supposed to hear the Word of God, and then we're supposed to obey Him. We're supposed to obey Him. God told Ezekiel, hey, open your mouth. We must first learn obedience after we hear the Word of God. Step one, let's hear it. Step two, boy, obey God's Word. Hear and obey and go hand in hand. It'll keep us from that rebellion that God is speaking to Ezekiel about, that he's supposed to go preach to the Israelites about, right? He's saying, boy, don't do this. I want you to listen to me and I want you to obey me. So after we hear the word of God, we're supposed to obey the word of God. And if you think about it, hearing without obeying God's word will not have the same effect as one who hears and then obeys God's word. Two different worlds, right? We come to church here to hear God's word. I hope you come here to hear God's word. We read our Bibles to hear God's instruction of how to live. We learn about His laws. We may even memorize Scripture. And I'm still working on Psalm 119. It's going to be a long time, just so you know. It's going to be a long time. You know, I need to get better at it. I'm trying. But one step better than what I was yesterday, right? Anyway. But we need to memorize His Word, too. And we may even memorize it. But, you know what? Until we actually obey that Word, it's not going to have the same effect on our lives. It's just not going to have the same effect. You can, here, for instance, you can learn how to soul win. You can learn, you can watch, you can observe. Somebody can have a class on it. And you say, okay, you know, put some traction in your pocket. Okay, yep, okay, got that. I'll put some traction in my pocket. Got it, okay. All right. You listen to the whole teaching, right? But do you become a soul winner after you leave the teaching? What do you got to do first? You actually got to put the traction in your pockets. You got to pray about going out doing it. You actually got to go to the door and knock on the door. Hey, I would like to invite you to the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage. Hopefully you don't stumble over your own words like that. And then you give them the track. Until you get to that point, you are not a soul winner. Right? You can learn all this book has to have. Man, I know people that know the Word of God really well. Way better than I do. And I'm happy for them. But they're no better of a Christian if they don't obey it. Right? They have to obey the Word of God. That's where the growth comes in. You know, by simply obeying the Word of God. What about tithing? You can learn what you're supposed to do about tithing, but until you give that money in that box on the wall, until you actually give the money, you have not tithed. You are not a tither. You have to obey His Word. You hear it, and then you got to obey it. As I read through the book of Ezekiel, I'm learning that, you know, God used that man in some very different and weird and difficult ways, right? I'm learning that God was able to use Ezekiel. He became a great man of God because Ezekiel did what? Boy, he heard the Word of God and then he just did what God told him to do. Boy, it's a much easier life that way. Doesn't mean life's going to be perfect, but it's a so lot. How much easier is it to not kick against the pricks, as they say, you know? Ezekiel got to do some great things for God because he heard the Word of God and then he obeyed it. I'll share some things of what he got to do. I won't read all the Scripture, but in Ezekiel chapter 3, if you continue to read, God calls Ezekiel to the house of Israel. He says, prophecy. And he says, preach the words that I give to thee, Ezekiel. And right away, God says, you know what? The house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, by the way. For they will not hearken unto me. He warns them. He says, hey, you know what? I'm going to send you to these people. They ain't going to listen to you. But I want you to go anyway. God called Ezekiel to go preach His word to a very stubborn and rebellious people. God warned them, hey, they're not going to listen to you. They do not want what you got to give them. They are going to rebel. This is not going to be an easy job, Ezekiel. Hey, think about that today. Hey, not everybody's going to... Boy, some people might mock you, might cuss you out. Hey, but the command to go is still there, right? The command to go share the gospel is still there. Just like Ezekiel, God told him, you're going to go anyway. I want you to go. So much God said in His Word, He says, you know what? They're not going to hear you. But Ezekiel heard God and listened and obeyed so much so that in His Word, God told Ezekiel, Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. The hand of the Lord can be strong upon you and I too. Well, how do we do that? Well, we got to hear the Word of God and we got to obey it. And that strength will be there when you need it, right? If we want to be strong, we need to hear God's Word. We need to obey it. And then what happens? God blesses you for it. God blesses you for it. He'll allow you to do things you might not ever thought you'd be able to do. God had Ezekiel at one point lay on his side. I think I counted it was like 390 days. That's nuts.
You know, I don't even like laying on my side for 6 hours, you know, when I'm at night. Because then my sinuses get all clogged and then I can't breathe and I get a headache. 390 days? No, no, way too long. Way too long. As a witness. But God said, do it. He trusted God and he did it. He just did it. That seems crazy. For over 1 year, he lay on his side preaching to this rebellious people. God, they're not listening anyway. Why am I doing this? Because God said so. God told Ezekiel, you know, well, I know you like your hair and all. I like your beard, but shave it off. Oh, God, no, not the beard. I like the beard. God told Ezekiel, preach to the mountains. Mountains? But he did it. God told Ezekiel to do some crazy stuff, right? God had great plans for Ezekiel, and Ezekiel just did it. That's where great men, great women of our faith come from. Those that just, they don't even have to go to Bible college. That's good. I'm not mocking Bible college. But the strong of the faith are those that get this early. If I just simply trust what he says and just do what he says, the growth comes. The growth comes. God told Ezekiel to do some crazy stuff. He became a great man of God. He did things that no one else thought, maybe he thought he would be able to do. But God's hand became strong upon him because he first learned to hear the word of God, then he obeyed the word of God. You say, God used Ezekiel to do some different and difficult tasks. Would he ever use me that way? Absolutely. They're not here tonight, so I can pick on them. Pastor McGovern and Pastor Roach, I'm telling you, we don't understand what we have. We don't get it. Those two men, powerful. The Lord's hand is mighty upon them. I hope you view them that way. I really do. Don't worship them, but I'm just saying, watch their lives. Things happen. Why? Because they hear the word of God and they obey it. They believe every jot and tittle, okay? Everything. There's a reason why people get saved around them. There's a reason why things just happen, okay? Anyway, love your preacher, okay? Love your pastors. Love what you've learned from them. They're good men. Anyway, would he ever use you and I that way? Absolutely. He wants to. We have men and women and children in our church right now that God is using. They do some weird and difficult things every week. Camp is strange. You go out there, there's kids are running all over the place. Just madness out there, right? You got the bus ministry. Take some unique people. You can't just go in there thinking you're going to fix all these kids. Boy, you better be praying. They're coming with a lot of hurts, a lot of pain, right? And so they're going to act out, right? Or what about the RAM ministry? Go up in the Yukon, Brother Dean, Pastor Dean, you got to go up there, Mrs. Dean. See, go in the middle of nowhere and try to preach to some people in the middle of nowhere. Why would we do that? Because God said go, right? And you get to do some great things for God. If we first learn to hear and obey God's word, boy, he can use us too. Prison ministry, we have the domiciliary ministry, nursery. Don't get me in there. You know, I'm glad there's ladies in there working, you know, with your kids, you know, other people's kids, you know. A lot of patience involved with that, right? God's in control. If we just first learn to hear his word, obey his word, and then step number three, boy, you know what we need to do? We need to eat it. Eat what God provides us, right? God told Ezekiel, hey, I want you to hear what I say unto thee, And then God said, hey, open your mouth. And then he says, obey me. And then thirdly, he says, you know what? Eat what I give to thee. Basically, God's saying, hey, be content with what I give you. We've got a problem with that in America. Well, in the world in particular. But America's been blessed. We have toys galore. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But be content with what you have, right? Did you know what God told Ezekiel? Hey, eat this roll. I'm not talking a dough roll.
I'm talking like a scroll. Okay, eat this thing. Okay, you know. Ezekiel 2:9, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Skip down the verse 1 of chapter 3. More, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. Boy, that's interesting, huh? And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. I'll pause there for now. You know, God sounds like a parent here, doesn't he? Like a father saying, hey, you eat that. That's good for you. You eat that. You need those vegetables. You need that meat. You need whatever, right? You know, you eat that. My wife and I, we always got kids around us, whether it's our nieces or nephews or other people's kids, you know. And Elena, boy, she is the pickiest eater I think I've ever met in my life. But anyway, we had her over one time, and Krista put some bacon down in front of her, and she instantly, oh, yuck, I don't like bacon. Well, have you ever ate it? No. Well, you're going to eat that bacon. Guess what? We made her eat the bacon. And she liked it. She thought it was the greatest stuff ever. Coincidence, huh? What, don't you think your Heavenly Father knows what you need, right? Don't you think He knows what you need? She went around sharing to people, oh, I like bacon. I used to not like it, but I like it now. She's telling all the kids, you know, I like bacon. You know, last year I didn't like it, but I like it now, you know. You know, stuff like that. Boy, if we would eat what God gives us. You know what happened when Ezekiel ate that roll? He said it was sweet, like honey. Do you know that this book can be sweet to you and I if we want it to be? How does it become sweet? If we obey it. We hear it. Let's hear what it says. Then we obey it. And boy, it becomes sweet. You know what becomes bitter? When we got sin in our lives. And we start reading. We're like, ooh, ow. Ow. Ooh, stinging. Ow. That hurts, preacher. Ow. Right? I remember one time at camp. The first time, I believe it was the first time I ever heard Pastor McGovern preach. I heard all about him for years, you know, how, you know, just he went over to New Guinea and he was our assistant pastor. So it's like I knew him, but I didn't, you know, I just heard him for years. So the first time I got to hear him preach, I'm pretty sure he was at camp, at family camp. Man, he preached on the holiness of God. To this day, I think it was the only time I've ever begged God to make the preacher stop. It was so convicting. I didn't want to hear anymore. It just, on the holiness of God, it just crushed me. You know? And, boy, we need to hear the Word of God. We need to obey the Word of God. And we need to eat what He gives us. And Ezekiel did that. Then did I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. You know, the Word of God can taste sweet when we first learn to hear it and then obey it. And then just eat it. Enjoy what God has for us. Be not thou rebellious. Right? Hear what I say unto thee. Open thy mouth. Obey. Eat that I give thee. Be content with what God gives you in life. No, it's not always going to be peaches and cream. Right? Death is a part of our life. Accidents happen. But nothing happens as a surprise to God. None of that is. Sometimes we find ourselves thinking, you know, we are not where we, thought we were supposed to be. You know, I just turned 36 and I'm like, wow, am I really 36 years old? You know, this is not where I thought I would be 10 years ago looking, you know, I don't know. You know, you have dreams, different ideas in your head. You just don't know the future. Try not to be discontent. Don't get bitter at it. Accept the will of God that He has for you. Sometimes we even miss out on good food. You know why? Because we refuse to eat it. We refuse to accept the will of God for our lives. Maybe you're not living where you thought you'd be living. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you're not working where you thought you'd be working, right? Boy, until you accept the will of God that He has for you, boy, you're fighting God. You are rebelling God, rebelling against God. Did it ever occur to you that God may have you exactly where He wants you? Did it ever occur to you that He may have provided the exact plate of food He wants you to eat, but since you have refused to eat it, you are missing out on the blessings that He has for you because you're rejecting what He's given you? Why would He give you anything else if you won't eat what He's first given you? Why should He give you anything else? Right? I know, it hurts me too. I'm like reading this like, oh my word, like, Lord, help me. Help me to hear the Word of God, help me to obey the Word of God, and then help me to eat what You've given me. I need this, right? I don't know where you are. I don't know where your relationship is with God. But I think God has something for you and I tonight. I think God has something for all of us here to learn. For some of you, boy, we need to re-engage and start hearing the Word of God again. Remember this, Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Boy, I need the preaching of the Word of God. I need to hear from the man of God when he gets in the pulpit and tell me and reminding me about Jesus Christ, reminding me what He's done on the cross, reminding about the faith of this book. So I'm refreshed, I'm revived, right? Some of you may not have any relationship with God. Maybe someone in here has never started that relationship. Boy, you can have one. You can start by repenting of your sins. That means turn from your sins, those things that weigh you down, those things, those burdens, and you turn to God. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need help. I'm coming to You the best way I know how. We need to turn from our sins, turn to God, put our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, all are going to stand before God in judgment, according to this book. And boy, we like to plan and think that we're going to live a nice long life. Boy, it happens every day, but recently it seems like it's happening like all the time. Like every few seconds I'm getting a Nixle text on my phone about some accident, somebody died, and it's like, what is going on? You know, that mom and her child, they got swept away in the river last night at Matanuska. I highly doubt when she woke up yesterday, she's like, I'm probably going to die today. No, that didn't happen. When Brother Pullman crashed in the plane, he was not thinking about dying that day, I'm sure. Now, based on his testimony, I know, from what I understand, he's with the Lord, Brother Pullman. That woman and that child, I don't know. I don't know where you are. That's between you and God. I can assume you come to our church, you've been coming for a while, you've heard good preaching. I sure hope you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I sure hope you put your faith in Him. Because we just don't know. We really don't know when we'll take our last breath. You know, we're all sinners. And we stand. And if we are lost, if we do not have someone, an intercessor, if we stand before God ourselves and try to stand before God in our own righteousness, boy, you know what's going to happen, as preacher says, as pastor says? God demands perfection. Ain't none of us perfect. There's not one person in here that God could look at and say, oh yeah, he's perfect. She's perfect. Unless He sees the Son of God on your life. Unless He sees the blood of the Son, Jesus Christ, on you, covering that sin of your life, then He can declare you innocent. And only then. It's just like you commit a crime. If you committed the crime and everybody knows you committed the crime, you got witnesses that committed the crime, and you go before a civilian judge, the judge has all the evidence weighed against you. And if you stand there and say, I'm innocent, like a lot of people do, ain't going to work. If it doesn't work in a civilian judge, you think it's going to work with a holy, righteous God? No way. No way. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe it's time to yield to Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. Or if you already are saved, maybe you need to re-engage and be like, I look back and I see, okay, I got saved May 8th, 2005. I'll be honest with you. I didn't just get saved May 8th, 2005 and just have a straight line of growth. Didn't happen. You might have thought it went that way, which is, I guess is okay. It's kind of encouraging. Maybe I covered a lot of things so you didn't see the heart issues, okay? But there were some woes in there, all right? Let's see. Over since 2005, let's see, what happened? Well, I got married. That was a wonderful thing. I got baptized, got saved. Let's see what else happened in there. Oh, a lot of death. Five family members on Krista's side of the family died in the first 7 years of my marriage. Okay, I had to bury five people in her family. Two of them were kids. It was horrible. It was horrible. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I was not Mr. Spiritual He-Man, and I got through that in flying colors. Okay, there were some bad times. There was some anger. God, what are you doing? You know, kind of feelings. And then I have to like, oh God, I'm sorry. You're right. Roller coaster, right? Okay. We need to hear the Word of God. You need to obey the Word of God. And then eat what He gives you. Be content with what He gives you. And it'll give you that peace. It'll give you that happiness that you want. You know, things in life, you know, we think, you know, this thing here, you know, it's like a tether sometimes, you know. You think this tool will give you happiness. It's for a brief moment. Till it smashes, till you drop it, till you forget it. Then you hate the thing, you know. Or you're driving, you get a manual, and the thing's, and you're like, stop, you know. I'm tired of hearing you, you know. Maybe you're struggling with that contentment. Maybe you're struggling with hearing the Word of God. Maybe you're struggling with obeying it. Maybe you love hearing the Word of God. Maybe you can, man, I love preaching. I love hearing it. I love hearing pastor preach it. Man, but why aren't I growing? Have you taken what the man of God says and start putting it in your life? Try it. Try it. Boy, I'm sure your growth will just take off. It'll take off. Anyway, I'm starting to ramble on. Well, I hope that was a blessing to you tonight. Whatever your need is, why don't you come forward at the invitation? Talk to God about it. That's exactly what He wants you to do. It's like, really? He wants me to talk about how mad I was when that person called me on the phone? Yeah. And He wants you to talk to you. He wants to talk to you about that. He wants you to talk about everything. He really cares about where you are. And He wants to help you. Why don't you take the steps necessary tonight to hear His Word, to obey it, and let's eat the Word of God as Ezekiel learned to do. And you know, because of that, boy, he got to do some great things for God. I hope the motivator isn't so you can get recognition. Just, I hope the motivation is just so you can be right with God. So as it says in Psalms or Proverbs? I think it's a Proverbs. Maybe it's a Psalm. I don't remember. Proverbs 6. Your sleep will be peaceful, will be joyful. Ain't nothing worse. Well, I guess there's plenty of things. But it's hard sometimes when you go to lay your head down at night and you're reflecting on the day and you're like, ugh. I did not do that right. Maybe you got active sin that you haven't confessed yet. Sleep's not so peaceful in those times. But boy, if you hear the Word of God, you obey the Word of God, and you're right with God, sleep's so much better. You wake up refreshed, ready to go, right? It's just so much better way to not kick against the pricks, right? Anyway, last thought. Be not thou rebellious, saith the Lord. Brother Jordan, that's all I got. If you would close for us.